good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name's Simon. I get to be team leader here at EBC. And I just wanted to add my welcome to Rob's. It's great to see so many people here. And a particular welcome if you're new or just visiting us. If you would not yet call yourself a Christian, if you're here to kind of just pay your respects on Remembrance Day, I just want you to know you're really welcome. We love that you're here and you're welcome any Sunday. I feel a sense of gratitude. Personally, I feel a great sense of gratitude. I've never been in a war. As Rob was saying, never been in a war zone. I feel a great sense of gratitude to those who have been, who've kind of put their lives on the line to defend our country. And you can talk about the rights and wrongs of that, and I'll touch on that a little bit. But I just want to say thank you to Frank, who was in World War II, of my dad's generation, served in the same sort of part, North Africa. Julia, who's not here today, leads our unity group. She's been in the armed forces. There might be a number of people for whom that's true that I haven't mentioned. I just want to say thank you personally. It is a special privilege. It's always a special privilege to stand here and talk on a Sunday morning or at any service. It's a special, special privilege today on Remembrance Sunday. It's an honour and it's a privilege, and it's not one that I take lightly. I sometimes get asked, are you ex-military? I now have a stock answer because I get asked that quite a lot. Short hair, I guess that's it. So my stock answer to take away any awkwardness is no, but I get that a lot. So blame's not on them, I just get that a lot. But I have a kind of a commission. I have a kind of a commission that this church and God has given me, and that is to lead, along with our minister, Steph, that is to lead this church and to lead it faithfully in the way that Jesus taught us to. And I take that very seriously too. So here we are on Remembrance Sunday, and with what promises to be a hugely contentious general election coming up. And I want to be really honest with you and say that Steph and I, our minister Steph and I, your minister in training, we agree about most things in life, and we really love each other. We have a fantastic relationship. But two things we disagree about sometimes, quite hotly, are politics and pacifism. Politics and pacifism. So when we have those conversations, because we have a great relationship, we're able to be really honest with each other. And just the other day, Steph challenged me with something, and it hit the mark, because there are some people in the world of politics about whom I've not spoken very nicely in Steph's presence. I won't name any names, but people that I don't really have a very high regard for. And Steph pulled me up and said, well, you know, you need to sort yourself out about this. You shouldn't talk in terms of hatred or anything like that. You should pray for them. And of course, she's right. So I've changed my tune on that. I've prayed for this group of people from different parties and not in parties. And I just invite you to do the same. It's going to be a really tricky time for our country. I invite you to do the same. When Steph and I have those conversations, I usually try to bring things to a peaceful resolution. And the way that I do that is this. I remind Steph, and she is obliged to agree with me, that we have a common manifesto. If we are followers of Jesus, and hopefully your minister and minister in training are followers of Jesus, we have a common manifesto. First and foremost, to be followers of Jesus ourselves and act like it. And secondly, as part of that, to help to bring other people a step or two closer to being followers of Jesus themselves. That's our common manifesto. So I really want to remind you that if you would call yourself a Christian, you have that manifesto too. It's Jesus's manifesto. And if we can get everybody in the world signed up to that manifesto, then we won't have all the problems that we're currently experiencing, will we? If we focused on those things throughout these coming days and months, and if we focus on those things throughout the rest of our lives, we're having an impact. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. And we need to take that role seriously. There is a peace to be found in that, even in times of difficulty, even in times of division, even in times of war. I love, by the way, that we have peace and unity in this church. We're commanded as church. Jesus prayed to his Heavenly Father for peace and unity in his church. And I love that we, generally speaking, we have peace and we have harmony at EBC. I would say that, wouldn't I? It's extremely helpful for me as a leader to have that. I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly. I thank you for that. And I'd ask you to pray that we continue to have unity. You hear awful stories sometimes in church leadership about churches that are divided, where there's hatred and division. And that is not of God. We should pray against it. As a church leader, and just as a human being, I want peace. And in fact, broadly speaking, I'd suggest that probably we all want peace. As I like to say in my not quite a pacifist way, peace is a cause worth fighting for. Peace is a cause worth fighting for. And when I began thinking about this talk, a few months ago actually, I thought I would major on peace and say that if we want world peace, well, we should start by being peacemakers at home. Start by fostering peace amongst our own family and being peacemakers amongst our friends who might be at odds with each other. The words that we speak to people, the way that we treat them, the kindness or the meanness that we show, the healing or the hurting that we do, the smile of encouragement or the social media cluster bomb, the little note of encouragement or the Exocet missile of an email that we fire, all of these things tell people about us. And if we're ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven, what is the message that we're bringing about the kingdom of heaven, which is to say the kingdom of God, by those messages, by those words, by those attitudes and actions? If we're disciples of Jesus and representatives of the kingdom of God, we need to think carefully about that. Are you an ambassador? Are you an ambassador for the kingdom of God? If you want peace, start by being a peacemaker yourself. Stop hurting people and start healing them. Just have a think about the words that you may have spoken recently to somebody in your own family. Maybe you were in a cross mood. Maybe there was some righteousness in that. How did that come over? And what did it say about the kingdom of heaven? In the realm of politics, what have you said about some of the politicians? How does that speak for you as an ambassador of the kingdom of God? I just invite you to think about that. And actually, that message of go and be peacemakers, that's not a bad message. There's some biblical truth in that. I just want to read you some examples from Scripture. In Matthew's account of Jesus' life, we hear Jesus preaching from the hillside, saying these words. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you're on your way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. In Dr. Luke's account of Jesus' life, it's written that a host of angels appeared to shepherds to announce Jesus' birth by saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." By the way, note to whom that peace is. We'll come back to this. Peace on earth to, does it say everybody? No. To those with whom God is pleased. In the Old Testament part of the Bible, one of the names we have for Jesus, taken from the prophet Isaiah, is Prince of Peace. And we may remember in John's account of Jesus' life, Jesus reassured his disciples with these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So we're to go and foster peace, right? Well, yes, but not so fast. Because it can't be in all realms, and I'm speaking particularly about the spiritual realm, it cannot be peace at all costs. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to what Jesus said about the reason he came. This comes as Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's sending them out to the people of Israel to proclaim the message, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near." And by the way, just before I get onto the passage, the kingdom of heaven is coming, but already here. Jesus is coming again for a final victory, but already here. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is of surpassing brilliance, surpassing good. And we live in a world that's fallen and broken and full of evil. And there's a huge disparity between the two, which only Jesus can bridge. So it's against that backdrop that Jesus says these words. And we'll have the first slide, please, Pete. "Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword." Next slide, please, Pete. And then Jesus quotes or paraphrases from another Old Testament prophet called Micah. And he says, "I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household." Now, Jesus' audience probably would have been familiar with the writings of that prophet Micah, but we might not be. So I thought, and this is very good practice, by the way, when you're reading your Bible, if you come across a passage like that, go and look it up. Go and look it up and have a read. And I'm going to do that just now. This isn't on the screen. I'm just going to read from my Bible here. So this is Micah prophesying. And see if this sounds familiar in our time and what's going on just now. "What misery is mine! I'm like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The faithful have been swept from the land. Not one upright person remains. Everyone lies in wait to shed blood. They hunt each other with nets. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands gifts. The judge accepts bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright worse than a thorn hedge. The day God visits you has come. The day your watchmen sound the alarm. Now is the time of your confusion. Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend. Even with the woman who lies in your embrace. Guard the word of your lips. For a son dishonors his father. A daughter rises against her mother. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the members of his own household. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, my God, who will hear me." And that is the context in which Jesus cites those words and then continues. "If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it." Strong words in a time when crucifixion was the form of punishment. Take up your cross and follow me means for us today, suffer for me. It might mean something even more severe in Jesus' day. Give up our life. Give up our ownership, our own kingship of our own lives. And put Jesus in charge. Anyone who receives you receives me, and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. So Jesus is talking about division, about bringing a sword, not a literal sword. He rebuked his apostle Peter, his friend Peter, his disciple, for using a sword in Jesus' own defense. And said, those who live by the sword die by the sword. So it's not a literal sword, but he's talking about division. Division between those who are acceptable to God and those who are not. Those who put themselves in control and those who receive him as Lord. And I hope you see the difference. Even in your own household, there is a spiritual battle going on. And you know what? You're in it. And I'm in it. And we don't need to forget that. There is a spiritual battle going on in our households, in our workplaces, in our town, country, and around the world. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Imagine if your friend, or perhaps a son or daughter, or grandson or granddaughter, imagine if they were about to step into a minefield. What would you do? I hope you'd rush to pull them back. Well, one day, they will stand before God, and they'll either stand declaring Jesus to be their Lord, or they'll stand in denial of him. And if it's the latter, then Jesus will affirm that, yeah, they denied me. I'm being steered to a handheld mic. Excuse me. Spiritual warfare, but we shall overcome. I was listening to a talk by an atheist the other day, a short talk. You may be familiar with the American magician duo, Penn and Teller. Yeah. Well, the tall one that talks, Penn Jillette, Penn's his first name, he was giving a little YouTube video. He is very much an atheist. But he said that after a show that he gave, somebody came up to him afterwards and said that they'd been to a previous show and they'd really enjoyed it and they had a gift for him. And he said the guy was so genuine and so open that he accepted the gift of a Bible. And he said he was a great guy. He said, I don't believe this stuff, but he was a great guy. And he felt he had to give me this gift. And then he said, if you're a Christian and you really believe what it says in the Bible, you really believe there's a heaven and there's a hell, he said this, how much would you have to hate somebody to let them go to hell without telling them? How much would you have to hate them to let them walk into that spiritual minefield and do nothing? And stand by. Now that was really challenging. I personally found that really challenging. And I want that to challenge you today. I've been asking the last few weeks about finding your mission field. In the aftermath of our closing Refresh Cafe, I've been asking, what will you do? What will I do? What will you do? Where is your mission field? Where is your expression of outreach? What's the group or what's the location? And I'm challenging you again. What's the minefield that you can help people through? One day we'll all stand before God and have an account to give. I think we need to take seriously who we believe in and what he said.
Do you know, I fully understand my friends who are pacifists. I fully understand that. I really wrestle with it. I'm not quite a pacifist, but I fully understand those that are. But in the spiritual realm, there can be no pacifism. One of the weapons the devil uses is apathy. Send them to sleep and they'll be harmless. And our culture these days, if you're okay, I'm okay, all roads lead to heaven. If there is a God, he'll just let everybody in anyway. There is no God anyway. It's all fairy tales. They've got to be confronted. And I'm not saying go and stand on a street corner and, you know, make people think you're weird. But find a way. Find a way in. When you're in the hairdressers, when you're in the pub, when you're in the town, when you're shopping, whatever it might be, don't let it pass. Find a way. And you know, if apathy is the devil's worst weapon, we've got a much more powerful one. It's called prayer. When I was ranting and raving against XYZ politicians and people in the Commons that I won't name, Steph reminded me that's not the way. And I prayed for them this morning. It's not a very long list, but a short list of people that I've prayed for. And I just invite you to do the same. If there's somebody whose name just makes your blood boil, pray for them. We have this incredibly powerful weapon called prayer. Will you just leave it to one side or will you use it? We have another incredibly powerful weapon. It's called the Bible. Will you just leave it gathering dust or will you use it to equip you? You are, if you call yourself a Christian, an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And there's a fight going on. There's a war going on. You're going to walk by on the other side while millions of people are persecuted? You know, we're so lucky. We had CSW here last week, as Rob was saying, Christian Solidarity Worldwide. And Stephen and Dave spoke passionately about the people around the world who are not allowed to come and worship God. Buildings are destroyed where they gather to worship, and they're thrown in prison. We're free, not least because of the people who've served this country militarily, but we're free to come and worship God. Free to own and to read Bibles. Free to talk about our faith. And there's a spiritual battle going on. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? When we think of our friends and family that might one day stand before God in denial of Jesus, imagine this, they stand before God and maybe for the first time they realize it was all for real. There really is heaven and they could be there. They might say, please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. Surely my friends didn't let me come to this. Eternity absent from God and heaven, which was on offer. Please don't tell me they let it come to this for the sake of peace. That is to say, the uneasy truths that we don't get into. So we'd rather just not talk about our faith. We'd rather let people wander into the minefield, would we? Do you believe it or do you not believe it? And if you do believe it, what will you do? So I just invite you to remember the prodigals, as well as the people who've fought and died in defense of our nation. And do what we do for those people who have served our nation. And say, we will remember them.